收音机旁的朋友，在这如诉如歌的音乐声中，欣然来到你的身。
You're listening to the beginning of one of the most famous radio shows in China. It was called Words on the Night Breeze, and it was a late-night women's call-in program. It aired for 8 years on China's state radio. The host was a remarkable woman who went by her first name only, Xinran. She lives in the West now, and she's just published a collection of the stories told to her on the air. The book's called The Good Women of China, Hidden Voices, and Strange Champs has more.
Xinran is a small woman with delicate features and a will of steel. She has a beautiful voice, melodic, warm, caring. 5 nights a week for 8 years, Xinran's voice gave listeners an unflinching view of what it means to be a woman in modern China. On her radio show, women spoke for the first time about forced marriages, systematic rapes, families torn apart by the Cultural Revolution. Women called her when they were on the verge of suicide. They mailed her their secret diaries. They told her things they'd never told anyone else. Neither Xinran nor her bosses had any idea of what kind of floodgates would open when she began her show. Xinran says she still remembers the letter that first woke her up from a young boy who lived in a rural village.
I thought I knew Chinese women's life because I'm Chinese woman and my mother Chinese woman, you know. I'm growing up in the Chinese woman's life. So when I read lots of the letters, I feel just a little bit lost until I read this boy's letter. I found some things quite seriously because the boy said to me,
Most respected Xinran, I listen to every one of your programs. In fact, everyone in our village likes listening to them. But I'm not writing to tell you how good your program is. I'm writing to tell you a secret. It's not really a secret, because everyone in the village knows. There's an old crippled man of 60 here who recently bought a young wife. The girl looks very young. I think she must have been kidnapped. This happens a lot around here, but many of the girls escape later. The old man is afraid his wife will run off, so he has tied a thick iron chain around her. Her waist has been rubbed raw by the heavy chain. The blood has seeped through her clothes. I think it will kill her. Your loyal listener, Shang Xiaoshuan.
This was the first letter that asked for Xinran's personal help, and she wasn't sure what to do. She called the local police, but the officer she spoke to told her that this kind of thing happened a lot, and there wasn't much they could do.
I said, this girl is going to die. Can you face it? If you say no, I will broadcast your answer. So he said, okay, come to my office. So I went to his office. In fact, we had a deal, and he was a very good policeman. Then he helped me, went to the little village, and saved this girl. This girl was only 12 years old.
Oh,
I was very shocked.
By saving a 12-year-old girl's life, Xinran was breaking an unspoken code of silence. Obedience to men has been a way of life for Chinese women for centuries. In big cities like Shanghai and Beijing, that's changing now, but not in the rural villages. And even in the cities, old attitudes die hard. Xinran's colleagues told her that she'd gone to a lot of trouble for nothing.
Afterwards, lots of people criticized me, say, Xinran, you spend lots of money and energy for this young girl. It's not worth to do it. So I asked them, this is a woman's life. This is a human life. Not just for the material things, it's worth to do or not. So this wake me up a little bit.
Xinran's readiness to speak out and even act on women's behalf earned her the trust of her female listeners. Soon she was getting 100 letters a day, a lot of them asking for basic information about sexuality. A married couple wanted to know how babies were made. A 22-year-old girl worried that she'd get pregnant from holding her boyfriend's hand. Xinran says this kind of ignorance is common in China because for years, talking about sexual matters was strictly forbidden. An unmarried man and woman could be imprisoned or kicked out of their village just for kissing. Because they're raised in such a climate of extreme sexual repression, Xinran says two things happen. Chinese women are hungry for tenderness, for basic human touch. And on the other hand, sexual abuse flourishes. Xinran tells the story of the girl who kept a fly as a pet.
This girl was abused by her father, and she went to ask for help from her mother. But her mother said, be silent about this. Otherwise, you will destroy this family and also people won't give you any space to live in this world. So this girl couldn't get any way to avoid her father's abuse. So she tried to injure or to hurt herself so that she could be in the hospital.
This girl, whose name was Hongshu, tried starving herself, soaking herself in cold water and going out in the snow, even breaking her own bones. Even then, she wrote in her diary, her father would come to her room in the hospital and abuse her. Finally, Hongshu became permanently ill. She wrote in her diary, I long for a real family, where I can be a child and cry in my parents' arms, where I can sleep safely in my bed at home, where loving hands will stroke my head to comfort me after a bad dream. From my earliest childhood, I have never felt this love, and I will never have it now. A few days later, Hongshu found a baby fly.
One day she was in the hospital, and she felt some touchings very beautiful, and she discovered that was a fly. She never thought this kind of touching so beautiful. So afterwards, she tried to keep a little fly as her pet.
11 May. Sunny. My baby fly is wonderful. I've made a house for it where it can be safe and move around, too. It's a gauze cover, the sort the canteen uses to cover the food. The head cook gave it to me. Nobody would suspect that there was a fly inside an anti-fly cover. Also, I don't have to run to the canteen to get food for it. It can enjoy my rice and vegetables with me. I can sleep in peace again.
Shortly after that diary entry, Hongshu's doctors told her she was getting better and would be able to go home soon. Panicked, Hongshu rubbed a dead fly into an infected cut on her arm, hoping it would make her sicker. She died of septicemia 3 weeks later. Reading the stories of these anonymous women is a humbling experience. As novelist Amy Tan writes, their lives are so moving that when I finished reading, I felt my soul had been altered. For 8 years, Shinran heard stories like these every night. In the end, she couldn't take it anymore.
I was told by my doctor in February, he said, Shinran, you must stop taking sleeping pill. By that time, I took almost 8 sleeping pills for one night. So he said, you are kidding yourself, you must stop it. But in the night, especially after program, I just couldn't sleep. So in the night, I always wake up by the bad dreams about my childhood, about some stories like the little girl, you know, kept a fly as her pet. She always come to my dreams and talk with me. Sometimes I just beg her, please don't come back to me.
It was Shinran's boss and mentor who told her she had to write these stories down. If you don't, he said, your heart will be filled up and broken by them. But at that time in China, Shinran would have gone to prison for writing a book like this. So she moved to England. And once there, she began to write, putting into words and onto paper the heart of China.
I just want to let people know, when you notice someone, especially girl or woman, in tears next to you, hug her, ask her, are you okay? Can I help you? You know, in China, we needed this. Most Chinese women, we really need this kind of energy. And this is why last year, there was a report from United Nations. Chinese women's suicide is top of the world. So I just want to, I don't know. All I want to give them is a kiss and a hug.
Shinran has put her kiss and a hug into a book. It's called The Good Women of China, Hidden Voices. Shinran spoke with Anne Strainchamps.